If you'll take your Bibles, please, let's turn to Matthew chapter 4. It's going to be kind of a springboard passage on a series that I'm beginning on Wednesday nights concerning preparing your heart for your own personal study of the Word of God. And I want to begin by looking at the temptation of Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ forever exalted the Word of God. Amen? He forever exalted the Word of God in this regard, that when he answered Satan in the three attacks that came against him, what did he go to? He didn't say, "I'm the Son of God. You don't tempt me." No, he didn't. He just quoted the Word of God. "The Scripture saith." And I want to focus, if I may, on verse 4 this evening, where the Lord answers the first temptation that comes from Satan. And we're going to say a few words about this, but I'm mostly focusing on this first answer, because I think this is, I believe, to be key. The Lord was not teaching Satan. Everybody following me? He wasn't teaching Satan about the value of the Word of God. Satan already knew the value of God. Satan knew the Son of God and wanted his place, and in rebellion rejected the Word of God, which was the person of Jesus Christ. Don't ever forget that. Jesus was not trying to teach Satan. He was teaching all of us. Now that's important to understand. Because if you start just dealing with just the aspect of Satan's attack on Jesus, you're going to miss the value for yourself. For those that would read this in the past, in the present, in the future. Satan tempted him. Jesus had been in the wilderness for how long? 40 days. And what did the Bible say about his condition at the end of that 40-day period? He was hungry. So Satan comes, all right, in a treacherous, manipulative, what's all the different adjectives I can use to describe his deception? Coming to Jesus and said, "You're hungry, aren't you? You were never hungry up in heaven as a spirit, but now you've taken on flesh. You're dwelling in mine, you're hungry. So what you going to do about it?" There is mockery, there is treachery, there is all kinds of horrible things in this whole package that's given to us. We call it the temptation of Jesus Christ. But Satan comes to him at his moment of hunger. Now, stop for just a moment. Was Jesus hungry? Yes. Yeah, but he was the Son of God. Stop it. Don't go there. He was tempted at all points as we are. The difference was he was without sin, because he was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of Man, and he got hungry like we do. And I don't know about you, but I've been hungry before. And it usually happens 3 times a day. Have anybody noticed that? 3 times a day you get hungry? All right. Yeah, you get hungry. You wake up in the morning, you slept all night long, and you're hungry. You want something to eat. There's a drive, a physical drive within us to move us to meet that need. That's why the Lord, in His gracious goodness, says, when you pray, pray likewise. Right? And what was one of the aspects of the prayer? You know, we pray to the Father, "Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven." And we go from the heavenlies down here. And what's the next phrase? "And give us this day our daily bread." We see the ethereal, spiritual aspect of the Father and His presence and His glory and His hallowedness. And then we go right down here where we live, "and give us our daily bread." They're joined together, folks. And here's Satan. You've never been hungry before. You've just spent 40 days in the wilderness. since you are the Son of God. By the way, it's not a conditional if that we see in the King James. It is a statement of fact that Satan uses. It's very clear in the Greek language. I don't know why they put a conditional if there. But in the Greek language, it's since you are the Son of God, cry out to these stones and turn them to what?
Bread.
Now, when is this all happening? Let's get the context of Matthew chapter 4. What is happening here? This is the beginning of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. And he immediately gets attacked by Satan. And the attack comes against him personally. Since you are the Son of God, you're hungry. Take these stones and turn them into bread. Could he do that? He could, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, he set aside the prerogatives of his deity, and the Spirit of God was given to him without measure. So God gave the Spirit to Jesus, and Jesus performed every miracle, every action in the power of the Holy Spirit. He could have changed those stones and turned them into bread. But was that the will of God? Was that the will of the Father? You remember what Jesus said? I came here to do the will of my Father. I have no will of my own. I came here to do the will of the Father. Was he here as a showman? No. Was he here to put on an act for everybody to see how powerful he was? No. That's the world. That's the spirit of the world. And Satan says, since you're the Son of God, I want you to just speak to these stones and turn them into bread. You'll have something to eat immediately. And what does the Lord do? This is so powerful. It's up on the screen. What does the Lord do? He makes this statement. All right? Now, do we find this statement elsewhere in the Old Testament?
Yes.
Okay? It's not in this form, but it's statements about the provision of God. All right? Man shall not live by bread alone. It doesn't say, now please don't misquote the Bible. It doesn't say that man should not live by bread. It says man shall not live by bread alone. Don't be short-sighted. And think that life, living life, eating and drinking is all there is to life. By the way, that's what we found at the time of the flood. The Bible says that they were eating and drinking and marrying. They were just going through the course of life here upon this earth with no thought for God. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now that, folks, was a powerful, Spirit-endued statement made to Satan, who already knew the Word. It was intended to mock him as the Son of Man. Yeah, you're in there. You're not everywhere now. You're located right here. It's a mockery of the glory of Christ incarnate. And you're suffering like these humans suffer. All right, God. All right, since you're the Son of God, just go ahead and do that. To demonstrate his power to handle an earthly need. Now, I want to say this. God does that for us, does he not? God supplies our need. He's our need supplier, we're told in the Bible. God does that every day. Give us this day our daily bread. Is that real or not? Is that just empty words? No, God meets our needs. He allows us to get up. We were talking, Brother Richard and I were talking, said it was a good day. We got up today. It was a good day. We're vertical. Praise the Lord. Now, maybe we'll get buried standing up. I don't know. They've had a few people that requested that, you know, be buried standing up. But the point is this, we're alive. By whose grace? God's grace. We all had something to eat. Who provided it? God did. Oh, no. I worked with these hands. Yes, Cain, go ahead. Go ahead with your speech, Cain. You worked with your hands and you provided everything yourself. Don't ever take credit for what God does. You're on dangerous ground when you do that. Don't ever take credit for what God has supplied you. God allows every tiny little muscle and ligament and in your body to work and function because of His grace and His goodness. And He can take it away just as well as He can give it. Glory be to His name. Don't take credit for something that He did. You didn't make yourself. You didn't decide. The little Brian boy did not decide what his hair color was going to be, what his face was going to look like, what his eye color was going to be, the shape of his ears, how big he was going to be. He didn't decide any of that. Who decided that? God did. God did. We need a good dose of this on a regular basis, people. When we start filling ourselves with ourselves, and we start thinking, hey, we do pretty good. Yeah, we're pretty smart. We're pretty this. We're pretty that. No, we're not. We're nothing without God. We are nothing. Zero with a ring rubbed out. Amen. So, Satan, you've come. Yes, I am the Son of God. But I'm to live by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. That's how Jesus lived His life here upon this earth. He obeyed the will of the Father, and He had completed it in every jot and tittle. Now, His temptation was from without, because He had no internal temptation within. We struggle with that, all right? As human beings, we have temptation from within, not Jesus. He had temptation without. And how did He answer that temptation? With the Word, who, by the way, He was the Word. He was the Logos, the Word, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So this was an attack on Jesus Christ as the Word. And everything that we see here that follows, Jesus answers with the Word. Because this was the problem area of Satan. Satan despised the Word, capital W. He wanted that position. Lucifer, the angel of light. Powerful. Created being of God, though. He was not self-originating. God had made him. Jesus was always and will always be jealousy, wrath in his heart. He wanted that position. He wanted that authority. And by the way, that comes out in the temptation of Jesus Christ, because Satan starts offering him things that he can have. Do you see all the kingdoms? They can be yours if you just worship me. They can be all yours. And he had every right to give it because he had stolen it from Adam in the fall. He had taken that away from Adam through deceit and through the disobedience of Adam. He became the prince and the power of the air. He took away the dominion of Adam and took it upon himself. The kingdoms of the world. By the way, the kingdoms of this world are influenced by Satan. Don't ever forget that. Always. The great culmination of the ages is going to be satanic hatred. And Jesus is going to ride in authority on a white horse. And by himself, we're told, he is going to destroy the enemies. And the blood will rise to the bridles of the horses. As he alone, in his authority and might, destroys. And by the way, we find at the very end that Satan, death, and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Amen. By whom? Jesus Christ. Now, my point in all this, and what I want to move to in this Wednesday night series, is preparing your heart. Do you know that our Lord was prepared when he met with Satan's attack? He was prepared. I want to move ahead with some thoughts here and we'll be done. Readying our heart. Readying your spiritual heart through knowledge of the Word. Where do we begin? Jesus was the Word. But we're not the Word, are we? We've been gifted with the revelation of God. It's all right here. It's Jesus Christ written. But we're not the Word. So where do I begin? And to me, it's almost simple. We begin with ourselves. We have to be prepared. We had a gentleman out here, Chaz, who owns Chaz Air Studios in Pensacola as a business inside the Walmart in Cantonment. And I met him about 15 years ago, and I said, hey, do you mind coming up here a few times to Gospel Projects and paint helmets? Everybody buys new helmets every year, and they put their names on and so forth. And so we struck up a relationship, and he's been coming out every year since, 15 years. And that is the most prepared man when he comes out there. He has all of these air sprayers for different colors. It's just lined up there. And he is prepared because he's cleaned every one of them. He's purged out the lines, all right, cleaned them out. Every one of them, there's all kinds of colors and stuff that he's able to do. And some of them glow in the dark and some of them, I mean, it's just amazing what he does. And he is so gifted, he just does it from his mind. And he'll look at a design and he just starts going at it. And there it is. Just amazing. But then when he's done, he doesn't just gather it all up and throw it in the back of his truck. He starts the cleaning process. You'll see him throw it over into the thinner, and he goes, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. He's working on that. He's cleaning the nozzles, getting all that stuff. He said, if I don't do this, I will lose this tool. You can't clean them out when the paint on the inside dries. I have to throw it away. And you know how much these cost, Todd? I said, I can't imagine. I really don't want to know because I'm not a painter. But he said, these things are expensive. They're made out of titanium. And they clean easily with thinner and the chemicals that they use. And he'll sit out there till everything's clear. Then he moves that one, puts it away, goes to the next one, puts it down in there. He's blowing it all out, getting it ready for the next job. And you might think, that's pretty boring. And you're right, it is. But you know what he's preparing for? He's not preparing to put them in his car. He's preparing for the next time he's going to paint. Because it's going to be at Walmart in the morning in Cantonment, and there's going to be there, and he does all kinds of painting of different things. His equipment has to be working. He's prepared. So he doesn't get there and say, oh no, I forgot to clean them last night. Boo. Yeah, but there's no business today because he forgot to clean, and it's worthless now. There is a preparation, Christian, an understanding that needs to be in place if we're going to benefit from the Word of God. This is just basic stuff. There's nothing new here, but it's important stuff. I've had so many in the last few years, students. I've even had a few staff members that say, I get my Bible out and I just struggle to understand. And usually my first question is, well, have you prepared yourself? Prepared yourself to receive the Word of God? Or are you just sitting down and grabbing your little devotional book and okay, read? It's not an intellectual exercise. This is the failure. We look at it as an academic subject, and it's not. Do you realize that you can study academics and your heart not be in it? You can memorize things. Some people are good at memorizing. Man, they can memorize this, but that doesn't mean that they love it, right? Some people just don't love math. I don't happen to love math. Sorry, Mr. Ropager. I just don't happen to love math. I never was good at it. I never really cared for it. I've had to use it, you know, balance a checkbook, laying out soccer fields and baseball fields, Pythagorean theorem. I have used that one. And there's been times when I've had to use math and so forth like that, but I wasn't particularly fond of it. But Mr. Payer loves math. His heart was in it. That's how you got an engineering degree, right? Yeah. Was it just memorization? Yeah, there was a little more involved with it. You had to love it in order to do that. The same thing is true with anything in life. Sometimes you can do certain things and your heart not be in it. and you don't get the benefit. But for the child of God, this is not a mere intellectual exercise of me reading my Bible in the morning. Okay, I got that down. No, it's an exercise of the heart. And that's what the Bible uses when it describes our thought, our emotions, our will. All of that is wrapped up in what we would call our heart, or you might want to call it the soul, that makes up our being. There has to be this connection with the Word of God, with my heart, and the Holy Spirit of God as my teacher. If you look at it merely as academic, then you will fail. You will not receive the benefit that God wants to give to you as a child. You have to desire it. Desire it. Let's go to another verse. We're almost done here for tonight. Where do you begin? We begin by preparing our hearts to study the Bible. The Bible frequently uses the heart in a figurative sense, referring to our thoughts, emotions, and will. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. You've all memorized this at some time in the past. It says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looks upon the heart. The heart, the real you. That's what he's looking to. We're impressed with the outward. You know, watching those college players play in March Madness. Some of those guys, I know that the one that played on, what was the team, Michigan, 7'2". He didn't even have to jump to dunk. And they would just funnel the ball up there, and he would just take it in with his hand and boom. Yep. Now, the only thing I've ever dunked was a donut and coffee. That's it. I can't jump. I can't dunk. But it's amazing to me to see them do that. God looks on your heart. He's not at all impressed with our outer being. Not at all. Now, he cares for us, but he's not impressed because he gave you everything that you have. He gave it to you. So, if he doesn't look on my outward appearance, why do we spend so much time on that rather than on the heart? That's problematic. Let's go on. The study of the Bible is not merely an intellectual exercise like studying any academic subject. Academic subjects may involve the intellect and the heart not be engaged. And you don't benefit from that. All of us have studied to pass a test. Let's face it. We've all studied to pass a test. But only when your heart is engaged. Somebody that's a medical student that just loves and eats up the medical thing. Or maybe it's law. Or maybe it's some other subject. And they just absolutely love it and they digest it and they get it. They're getting the benefit that they'll use in their professional career. But you can't approach the Bible academically and your heart not be engaged. One other verse comes to mind, and I'll jump ahead here. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 13, and we'll go back sometime in the future to the previous page. But there are people that have a good study Bible. They've got commentaries. They've got recommended procedures for studying the Bible. They have a quiet place to study and still do not benefit spiritually from the time spent in the Bible because their hearts are not prepared to receive it. Heart's not prepared to receive it. And so they'll miss it. They'll miss the truth that God wants to communicate because we have not done something, and that's what these verses up here indicate. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. What have we received, Christian? The Spirit which is of God, that we might what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. We possess the Spirit of God so that we might know the things that God wants us to know. He's given us this precious book. And he's given us the Spirit so we might know. When you sit down to study the Bible, the first thing that you need to do is just stop immediately and go to the Lord and just tell him how good and how wonderful and how great and glorious and gracious he is. And I don't mean make it up. I mean it, let it come from your heart. Lord, I don't deserve anything. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your goodness. I don't deserve your mercy. I don't deserve anything from your hand. But Lord, I am so grateful that you love me and gave your son for me, that I might benefit from his righteousness in order to enjoy all the things that I possess in this world. But Lord, I'm about to approach your word. It's not my word. I'm about to approach your word, and I need the Holy Spirit of God to illuminate and help me to understand what I'm about to read. That's our privilege, Christian. That's how you prepare. You say, Lord, I want your Spirit to dominate. Don't let me bring in all my beliefs and all my ideas about it, because that's what happens so many times. I heard this one time, and I think that's what it is. No, let God tell you what it is. You know how many times I've found out that I was wrong about some opinion that I had about the Bible, and God just showed me from His Word where I was wrong, and I had to swallow my pride and say, I was wrong. I believe wrongly about that, because the Spirit now has shown me more clearly what is being taught there, what is being shared there. But you have to prepare your heart and realize my intellect is not powerful enough to understand this book, because the Bible says it's not. He's not given us the spirit of man. The intellect can memorize. The intellect can read. The intellect can do a lot of things, but it cannot understand the things of God. Apart from whom? The Spirit of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with what? Other spiritual things. Oh, now we're starting to get somewhere here. What is he saying? Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. We're entering into another world. We're entering into the Logos. We're entering into Christ. What does it mean to be in Christ? It means to begin to grasp and understand the Word, capital W. And have the Spirit of God teach us His Word. Because my intellect is insufficient. My education is insufficient. My home life is insufficient. All these things that we prop up and say, well, my obedience makes me sufficient. No, it doesn't. Because when it comes down to it, we're more disobedient than we are obedient. But thankfully, we have the grace of God, and we've got the Spirit of God, who will teach us. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. Folks, this is not deep stuff. This is what we should know. Prepare our hearts. You don't go out in the spring. I've been watching Russ. He's been working over at Chris's house, and he always puts in a garden every year. Does a fantastic job, and then he goes up to Maine and does garden number two. And he sits out there, and he's working the soil. He's putting in the fertilizer, working the soil, pulling the weeds, getting everything all laid out. He's got everything just neatly in a row. You know what he did first before he started any planting or whatever? He got out there and tilled the whole thing. It's been a year since he was out there. It needed to be tilled. It needed to be turned under. The soil had to be prepared before he put the seed in. And our lives need to be prepared. Who does the preparing? Do I do all the preparing? No, I ask God's Spirit to prepare. Holy Spirit of God, by the grace of Jesus Christ, would you make my heart amenable to your word? Help me to break down all the walls that I put up of my understanding, and let your Spirit teach me, not me try to teach the Holy Spirit. That's a far different mentality, and it's a mentality of blessing, because then the light can flood in. Not from yourself, but from the Holy Spirit of God. Oh, this is so important, and this is what the Corinthians struggled with. They were trying to live the Christian life in the flesh. And Paul said, I'm so thankful that I didn't baptize you when I was there. Some of you need to grow in understanding. You put a cap on yourself. You put a cap on yourself because Bible study takes what? Time. And what do we have so little of, it seems, today? You know why we have so little time? Because we fill it up with so many other things. We will take time for dinner. We will allot an hour and a half, 2 hours for dinner. We'll allot time for supper. But what do we allot for the Bible? Let's be honest. I don't know your heart. I don't know how much time you spend. But I guarantee more time is spent on lunch and breakfast and dinner that's spent on this precious book. And I am not beating anybody up. I'm looking in the mirror. Okay? So, well, it's not the amount of time that counts. Would you stop that, please? Would you like them to say that on your steak? Well, it's not the amount of time that it cooks. Oh, yes, it is. If I order a well done. All right? Now, if you're like rare, then the amount of time doesn't matter as long as it's still moving when they hand it to you on the plate. Oh, the mechanic. Well, it's not the amount of time that I spend on your motor. Oh, that's somebody I want working on my vehicle. Right? Slipshod, get it out, rush it out the door, and it's half done. We don't accept that in any area of life except in our personal study. And why is that? We have other priorities. Are you listening? We have other priorities that take precedence over the preparation of the heart to understand the Word of God. This is nothing of ourselves. It's simply saying, Holy Spirit, you teach me. Help me to get out of the way, Lord, and you teach me. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the precious Word of God. I'm so thankful for the answers of Jesus Christ to Satan, who sought to mock him and ridicule him as Jesus now was in a human body and beginning his earthly ministry and suffering all the things that we as humans suffer, facing the same temptations, and Satan comes along in his spirit form to mock Jesus. Since you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. I'm so thankful that Jesus Christ left us the most beautiful example. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God. Thank you, dear Father, for the preciousness of your word. And thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, whom we possess as believers, that helps us to understand the precious word of God, the Logos, Jesus Christ written. Bless us now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.